You're listening to Accent On with Alona Europa, right here on LA Talk Radio.
Hi, this is Alona Europa and Accent on LA Talk Radio, Accent On London edition. Today, not in my studio in LA, but I'm in London. My guest is in Chicago, yes?
Yes.
Oh my gosh, and your name is Balbinka Korzeniowska. You are our friend, my friend, and Accent On friend. So I'm very, very happy that after many, many months, really, you're back to our show. And I think we have something very important to tell to our listeners and to people who can watch us, of course, on Facebook and on Instagram. So if people are listening to Accent On, please tune in on Mondays, Channel 1 from 6 till 7 p.m. Pacific time, but I'll go to archives, scroll down on my page, Accent On page on LA Talk Radio, and then, of course, our interview will be forever for whoever wants to listen over and over, or please, please, please go to Accent On Radio TV on Facebook or Instagram under Alona Europa. So interview will be everywhere. We can see our great faces. And yeah, you are a really beautiful lady. So it's really nice to have us together. So, Balbinka Korzeniowska, you are a director, film director. You are also an actor. You are doing a lot of stuff in your life. And I don't want to read what I just got from you about your latest projects. But if I can ask you, Balbinka Korzeniowska, as of today, who are you?
Oh, well, thank you, Alona, for always making me think. It's refreshing. I love it. First of all, thank you for having me back on the show. I love talking to you and your beautiful, beautiful daughter. Who am I? So I am a fighter for humanity at this point in time, without making it sound like I'm, you know, anything other than just a Polish American citizen who has gotten extremely affected by the Ukrainian war. And this year, what I thought was going to be a year for perhaps more narrative film projects in my life, you know, February 24th changed the lives of many people. One of them being mine, in a way that I could not sit still as a filmmaker. I had to find some way to make a project about what was going on. Now, of course, it's a difficult situation because a lot of filmmakers tried to and did go to make documentaries. I think that I just became very lucky in finding a particular person, which I'm sure I'll talk about later in this interview. But who am I is definitely a fighter for humanity, for the rights of women and children, especially.
That's so important what you are saying, because a part of everybody's life is the part that sometimes we don't need to use. And we are not talking too much about feeling like we need to be helpful to another human. Sometimes we just don't need to, because life goes okay. And after COVID, everybody thought, like you and I too, it's a time right now for a little lighter, a few years in our lives, and maybe do more easy going songs. But after COVID, you know, what's happened in Ukraine is just impossible to even talk about. And we have a few months already, how many, almost will be coming soon to 6 months. And what is the most scary about this, that we are getting used to the situation that is there. I have many guests, had many guests before we were talking about this. We were part of also trying to do minimum to help physically with my daughter, Natasha Miraya, brought a lot of people from her place to help with packaging and sending stuff to Ukraine. So we did minimum, very, very minimum physical work, but we are proud of it. There was almost 20 something people that came with us to a Polish club in London. And we see how much people every day are still doing that. You, as a filmmaker, as a director, you have responsibility that you brought on your shoulder. And you are a Polish person. I'm a Polish person too. So we are talking about our neighbors. My dad was born in Ukraine, which was a part of Poland then when my daddy was born there. So I spent a lot of vacation time as a young girl, 7, 8 years, 10, 11. So I was going to the part of the Ukraine that right now, of course, is under attack. And in 2022, it's like just unimaginable that somebody that we called neighbor, somebody that we were proud of being friends, I'm talking about Russia, right now, we are just having goosebumps, the bad one, to even talking about them and the situation that is going on. So you took this topic and made this very personal. So you are the person to talk about that. I have amazing link that you sent it to me. I could read because it's very, very well read what is the project about. But I will leave this to you. And so first and foremost, please give us a title of your project and tell us how all that started.
The title, the working title of my film is The Intimacy of War. And it's about one Polish man who went to the border on February 26th to pick up two people. He came back with 15 who are all still currently living with him. There's 10 children and 5 women. They're all from one town of Zaporozhye, which is unfortunately a part of Ukraine that's not safe to go back to at the moment. And I spent 6 days filming. Interestingly enough, Ilonka, he lives in a town that tragedies took place in World War II. He lives in Oświęcim, which a lot of people know as Auschwitz. The sort of dark irony, a few of these women, because Ukrainians can ride for free in the Polish train systems now, these women didn't know anything about the area. They just thought Oświęcim is a town. And they ended up somehow getting, once they arrived at this hero's house, they ended up taking a train to Oświęcim. And they went to Auschwitz and they were talking about how absolutely mind-boggling it was to see that these atrocities took place here not very long ago. They have just escaped from atrocities. It's an example of how history is repeating itself, and that's a very scary thing.
Very, very scary. What is even scarier is that we have countries that are supposed to support each other, and what was amazing, you know, right after Russia attacked Ukraine, really, really the friendships of countries around and all world really clearly send a message, everybody's against this type of attacks. It's just like in the culture world, you think this will never happen. And still, I think till this day, none of people, the most intelligent, they still don't understand how somebody can say, I had the right to do that for whatever reason, killing children, people on the street, a woman making 3 million people right now evacuated themselves to Poland. And 3 million people, I don't even know because nobody really talks about this anymore, right now lives in our country as a really welcomed citizenship of Poland right now. And I don't know for how long they will stay. I was in Poland recently with my daughter, and we were very proud to see the places like train station or airports, how well organized and calm these places are when they still are welcoming people from Ukraine, knowingly that probably the first months, the first 2 months, there were the wars, you know, but still you have everything very, very well organized. You have parks filled with ladies speaking a Ukrainian language with children running around, and they are just happy. Seems everything calm like dance, you know, almost like beautiful waltz. The people in symbiosis with each other. So even if my mind is like questionable in amazing ways, I'm so proud of being Polish right now too, because of that. How 3.5 million can be inserted to country and just feel that this is the right place to stay and nobody questions and just everybody invites them with open arms and doesn't really say, okay, your time expired. You know, we let you be for like 5 days, 6 months. I know there are a lot of young people also from Ukraine. They're smart people. They have families. They will bring something good to Poland too if they decide to stay for longer. But 3 million of people, you wake up, you know, in 2-3 months, you have 3 million people in few towns, because not whole country of Poland is, you know, saturated by Ukrainian people. There are few towns that just got the most of them. And so you are telling us the story of 15 people's family who just got rescued in a way and lives right now in Auschwitz, in Oświęcim, in a place that they learn Polish history also directly from the town they were brought to. And this is not 2 weeks, this is not 3 weeks, as a 15 people. Tell us more about it. So how did you get in touch with this gentleman? How did you find him?
So I flew into Chicago, actually. Chicago is always the town where amazing energy happens. I mean, Los Angeles is great as well, but Chicago, there happened to be a Ukrainian fundraiser that was held by the Consulate General of Poland in Chicago and the Consulate General of Ukraine. And there were these wonderful musicians that were slated to play, both local Chicago jazz and blues musicians, and then some who had just recently escaped from Ukraine. This concert happened, I believe, I would say like the 1st of March. So very, very early on. So Ukraine in the news and on people's minds was extremely relevant. And I sat through this concert and just bawled at the idea of these Chicago musicians saying that we have to do everything, right? That we can, and we use our music to help. And so there I am sitting as a Polish Chicago filmmaker, and I'm like, what do I do? Who do I film? How, what, where, when? And the next morning I'm sitting with my mom and I'm having coffee, and my mom and I are constantly thinking of ideas together. She's my greatest soundboard. And she's sitting there, and I know she's thinking, she's got her thinking stare on. And I'm like, Mom, what is it? And she said, listen, our really good friend Łukasz, who lives in this town right near Oświęcim, he went to the border to pick up one family and he came back with 15 people. And I said, I want to talk to him, please. Can I at least get a phone call with him? And so it initially started as that. My mom had a friend who had a great story. Now, I had never met this person before. I didn't know if he was going to be, you know, interesting to talk to, whether he would agree. So we set up a video chat call. And I think within the first 3 minutes of seeing his smiling face, hearing his wonderful voice, I said, that's it. That's my hero. The story is about a modern day hero. You don't have to wear a cape or, you know, have superpowers. You just have to want to make the world a better place. And so immediately I started, you know, I got a crew together. I started raising a bit of funds to get us off the ground to fly there. And, you know, he welcomed us like he welcomed the Ukrainian refugees with open arms. And I subsequently, we all left feeling like we had just gained new members of a family, both through him and with the Ukrainian refugees. Now he's also incredibly funny. So, you know, the idea is, look, the war is, it's a backdrop, right? The war is terrible. So we have to find ways to be able to literally survive day by day. And humor and food, I would say, are the two things that Polish people do really well. We know how to cook and we know how to laugh. And so we also know tragedy, right? So within all of this, I'm trying to show something different. I'm not a news reporter in any way. I don't want to show, you know, photos of mass graves. We've all seen it. And we all sort of collectively are, you know, there's a mental capacity that all of us have reached, myself included. So Wukash became that really lighthearted hero that we all needed.
So in the real world, who is Wukash? I don't know if he wants to be invisible in a way. He doesn't want to, he wants his privacy. Obviously, he did all of that not for anybody to know. He did this because he decided, and he is carrying on 15 people, like you say, lives of 15 people who right now probably are his family and vice versa. So, but as a human, is he somebody young? Is he somebody older? Is he somebody who has a very high education, or somebody who has so much money? Because you mentioned that he has 15 people living with him in his place. You know, I know that no problem for me to bring a lot of friends, and they will all be sleeping on the floor, and we'll have a good time because we have no problem with that, for sure. As a Polish people, we love visitors, but we are talking for a short time. But we are now, like I say, it's 5 months already. So tell us a little bit about Wukash.
Absolutely. So Wukash is 40 years old. He is, from the time that he could remember, he's always wanted to help people. Mm-hmm. He initially started out, he's had a fascination of climbing mountains. And that's how actually him and my mom met. They met traveling to the mountains of Pakistan with a pretty well-known climber. His name is Krzysztof Wielicki. And Wukasz and Krzysztof are friendly. They both live in Poland. Krzysztof is probably one of the best well-known Polish climbers. And Wukasz has always had a fascination with climbing. He first wanted to be the mountain rescue people that rescue climbers from any sort of disasters they encounter. Then he became a woodworker. For whatever reason, he thought maybe I need something practical just in case. And then he became a criminal defense attorney. So
Okay, that's big jump. That's a very, very big jump. Wake up one day, say, oh my gosh, I will be studying law, and I'll be somebody really wanting to help people, but having real education. We are not talking 1 year. Oh, I will take some courses. We are talking years of studying. So, okay, and he's only 40. Come on, Wukasz, you're
really, I know,
you're
I know,
man. So congratulations on that. So right now you said he is legally he's a lawyer.
Mm-hmm. Yes,
he's a lawyer. Okay, so he is busy guy, and now he decided, okay, I'll pick up, you know, 10 people from Ukraine, and now we'll try to help them. 15 people. Well, okay, 15 people. 5 months later. Where they are living, how all of this is working out on day-to-day basis. Because I love the title, Intimacy of War. You really, these people are together, these people are family, these people are having day-to-day lives. And how many you said grown up?
And how five many? Five women, 10 children.
Amazing, amazing. So did you have a chance to live life with them? You know, like morning, middle of the day, night.
So the way that, you know, he has a great setup because they don't live at his house. He has an office that was basically at one point a school. And so there's rooms that they all have. So his office is on one side, and then there's about, I think, 17 rooms that were initially meant to be used as conference office spaces, but they weren't being used. And so he thought, well, hold on a minute. The place is huge. I have my office here. His mom on one end also has a huge kitchen, and they do weddings and banquet hall receptions. So everything was already almost like set up
or perfect headache.
Exactly.
Some people exactly. Will say, okay, I got this place, but these problems, you know, how everybody brings some problem with them. And we are talking about people that hurt the most because they left husbands, they left only people who are less than 60, they needed to stay in Ukraine. Above the 60, they could leave Ukraine. So the heartbreaks, dead people, nothing practically left for most of them. They have nothing to come back to. And they don't even know when this will happen. This is like you crush people to the ground and tell them, oh, flourish. You know, now you are okay. No, even when you give them the sweetest gentleman, everything, they wake up crying. They go to bed crying. They are missing everybody there. They miss their lifestyle. Who wouldn't? And they are afraid of listening to and watching TV, what's going on. And he's like, no end of it. That's what is petrifying. 6 months later, I'm getting myself in, you know, goosebumps. It's just not the end of it. And we are getting, in a way, used to the situation. And now I read that this could take years, you know, because we'll be maybe not, will be spread. And you wake up one day, okay, the bombs are over. Then 2 months later, again, in different place. I don't know how, because your documentary, your film, your beautiful project is not really about that. You are not a politician, and I'm not a politician. Like I say, I'm just petrified. I'm a woman of certain age, so I remember my grandparents and talking about war. I remember my dad, who, like I said, he moved from Ukraine in age of, I think, 16 or 15. They moved him to Poland with his mom, who was Ukrainian. My grandma was pure Ukrainian. She never spoke Polish to me. She always spoke unusual, even when she was in Poland, in Gliwice, she just didn't communicate in Polish. She was a beautiful lady. She just refused. She still wanted to be who she was when she left, but they asked them to move to Gliwice, so they did. I really understand a lot. And then when I was going to Lvov and Sniatyn and Vorochta, all of these beautiful little tiny country sites, there were so many still people speaking perfect Polish, because they were really Poles living in Ukraine that now is not anymore, you know, Polish territory. So Polish history is so complicated.
And it's so complicated. You're right. And it's nuanced. It's nuanced. And, you know, something that I learned, because I didn't know whether these women, actually Łukasz and I, we both don't speak, well, we don't speak Ukrainian and we don't speak Russian. So he thought the women were communicating in Ukrainian. Well, it turns out that most of them actually speak Russian to each other. Now, the kids speak Ukrainian in school, but they come home and they up until this war, they spoke Russian. Yeah. Now, they're pushing that language aside and they're coming back to their Ukrainian language, which is very interesting, right? So it's sort of the same thing with your grandparents that you were saying. It's like, okay, we still, there's a lot of pride and nationalism, right? And even though when I speak to my sort of Western friends, they're like, well, wait a minute, aren't you all sort of, and it's like, yes, we are, and we're helping, but no, we're not, right? There's still a separation. Now, whether, you know, we're not going to go back to history and say, oh, remember when you did that to us, because right now that doesn't, it's not important. We need to help you. Right.
Absolutely. So,
and I found myself a lot sort of just talking with, when I was in Poland, to people who I, you know, who had known that we were there to film. And I had a lot of Polish people come up to me and say, well, do you know what happened in this little town of Wołyn? And yes, I do. And that should be absolutely, you know, perhaps a part of a longer documentary to show history. That's just history. But am I consciously?
Again, we are not politicians and we are not journalists. We are not historians. We have, you and I, we have knowledge from the schools and from teachers who taught us. And of course, stories the grandparents told us. But yeah, there were time. Gently, we need to start talking a little bit that Poland and Ukrainian, that was not brotherhood. There was animosity. Right. There was a lot of death. There was a lot of hurt. And there was right after World War II. And there were moments and towns and the Polish people were killed and from the hands of Ukrainians. So, but like you said, many, many years passed. And if you don't leave the hate behind and you don't start living, hoping that love is what really brings us together, which I think Polish people and Ukrainian for years did this. The same with Russia people, that it was like, You know, there were moments that we knew who is our friend, who is not a friend as a Polish people, but eventually somehow, somewhere, we all love each other. This is like Eastern Europe. We are brotherhood, sisterhood. It's just, we love each other. So that's even more petrifying that I don't even understand how Russia people can perceive the war as a, something that is right to do. And so I will say politics, yes, we'll leave behind because we are focusing on something so beautiful. Polish soul, hero, who doesn't have a cape, like you say. This is a gentleman who just decided to do good for people. And he brought a group of people to place that he already had that seems like will fit it in beautifully in what he thinks will be the right place for them to live. And he carried on with these people. So let them live their life. So I cannot wait to talk to you a little bit longer because I want to know how their lives really look in Poland right now. I would like to see the morning. I would like to know. Yeah. I know that they for 5 months, 15 people are not just waking up and enjoying the 24 hours next to them. They're like, oh, nothing to do here. Please, what did you learn about day-to-day life for this beautiful 15 people family?
Well, the first 2 weeks were very tough, of course. I mean, we can only imagine, even though I can't even imagine what it would feel like, right? So the saddest thing were the children when they would be outside and they would hear any sort of airplane. They would just run inside because they thought that it was actually bombs going off. So that is, you know, beyond traumatic. I don't even know what word to use other than, you know, the effects of one war criminal. However, the situation has absolutely gotten better and better every day because these children have now been welcomed with open arms to Polish schools. And they love going to school, so much so that one main character of my documentary, he's a 10-year-old boy, his name is Kirill, he actually fell in love for the first time. He has a Polish girlfriend, and he's like 10 years old going on 25. He's an old soul. We very much connected, and he, you know, he's able to talk about this in a way that he's digesting this information. His emotional intelligence is very high, and he's able to talk about the fact that, you know, while this is a tragedy, he's been able to meet a beautiful princess that's come into his life. And so, you know, you have a 180 degree shift of emotions, right? So the children are actually having a good time. They're
assimilating nicely.
They're assimilating. Yes, yes.
But what about ladies? Yeah.
Now the women, it's difficult because guess what? All of them, every single one of them, left a man behind. So when they call these men and they, let's say the men don't answer. Well, they don't know if it's because he doesn't have signal or a much more serious outcome. This being said, all of their husbands are safe. I speak to them on a daily basis. I check in. And so all of them are safe, you know, thankfully. But it is a you know, a terrifying situation. Now, within all of this, right, we have this really sad group of people. Then we have Łukasz sort of hovering, right? And Łukasz hovers, and he's like, have you ever seen the movie La Vita è Bella? Life is Beautiful with Roberto Benigni.
Oh, no. I love the old Italian. No, I didn't.
He is a
positive energy.
He's all positive. And this movie is basically, it's set in World War II. And he's sent into a concentration camp with his son. And it's this tragedy. But Roberto Benigni somehow goes into these camps and makes children laugh. And he makes them feel better because they're living in pure hell. And he comes in and is this like nice empowering light, and he makes them laugh through jokes, through activities. He brings them gifts. And Wukash has found some way to always help these people be busy. So whether it's helping the women get jobs, which a lot of them have, or taking them on trips. When we were together, we took them on a trip to Kraków. Wukash rented a 50-person tour bus, and he took the entire family, his entire new family, because that's what he calls them, and my crew. So there were, let's see, 16 people plus six. So there was, you know, we filled up half the bus. Okay. And we got to Kraków, and, you know, we took a boat ride in Kraków with these women and children. We went to visit the Wawel Castle. We saw the dragon, you know, we did all the stuff. And for that day, and probably a week later, that's all they could think about. There's positive activities, right? To always keep their minds off of the reality that's back home. And he does this every single week. He surprises them with activities. When we were there, there were also local painters that came to where he has these, where he's housing these people, and they gave them painting lessons. Well, it turns out all of the kids loved it. So now, you know, when they're not at school, now they're painting instead of looking at, you know, war videos or cartoons all the time, right? So Wukash approaches this from a very sort of holistic way as well. The more busy they are, the less they think about a situation that they can't even control, right? So
do you think that a family will assimilate into Polish lifestyle, that they will prefer for their husband to come back to them? Or do you think all they're thinking still is how fast they can go back to Ukraine?
I think I met them in May. I would like to ask them this question now, because when they got there, they thought they were only staying for a month, two maximum. And
in a way, they're building a life in Poland, and they have probably very little to come back to outside of course, love of their lives. But yeah, that's a petrifying question, you know, for anybody who left country. Some people just want to just stay in new place, and some people will come back where the pain will be pain forever. So as we are talking about young human beings, that their life maybe is better to build in a place that they don't have these memories of being scared every day. So yeah, very interesting part two for your, of course, project. So you also have, I have a link that you gave it to me, that provided, it's a fundraising really, yes. And it's a donation that for whoever would like to be helpful and very greatly appreciated. And you have a donation of $500, and which is always, you are getting something nice, special, if you give money to the cause that you are representing. Or for $1,000, you have very nice, because you have received a handsome patch of both the Ukrainian and Polish flag, plus a reward above, which is a special thank you in the credits of the movie. Then you have also a reward if you have $2,500, you can receive a tree of happiness, or you know, it's called Drzewo Szczęścia, which tree of happiness, oh good, I translated it right. That is made from real amber, polished stone, just so beautiful, people know hopefully, and it's a gemstone of Poland, and all of above rewards, and also 5,000 that you can get a hand-drawn drawing by the children. Seems like they are taught well, you know, so it's very, very good. And then $10,000 that you will receive an associate producer credit, which, you know what, a lot of people have money, a lot of people really have money, a lot of people have less money. So I don't know how to make people act on that, but this is a beautiful way to just do something about. So I will be having this link added on a Facebook, and we'll add also into archives on my page on LA Talk Radio Accent On. When you scroll down with description, I will put this link. So if people really want to follow us everywhere. And you mentioned that the donation is very easy. You can do on Venmo, you can do on PayPal, and you can also, checks could be payable to Blue Eyes Production Company, LLC, 960 Vernon Avenue, V-E-R-N-O-N Avenue, A-V-E, Glencoe, Illinois, yes. So G-L-E-N-C-O-E, I-L, 60022. So if people have this video, they can watch and listen, they can slowly rewind this part, you know, hopefully. It's a lot of effort.
Thank you for the clarification, yeah. Yes. And anybody, what you were saying, Ilona, is anybody that wants to get involved really in a different way, right? So filmmaking, documentary filmmaking is extremely grassroots. This one in particular, there was a war. I didn't have time to get anything other than, you know what, I'm swiping my own credit card. I'm asking people to donate their time. And every single person that came on my set donated their time. There was not even a question of, I need to get paid, because we're not doing this to make money. We're doing this because this is a cause that I had to act upon. So any little donation helps, and you will become not just a part of the cause, but a film. And a film it moves on and continues forever. So
satisfaction, like human satisfaction. Yeah, if people can really reach to their pocketbook a little bit. And obviously doesn't need to be only dollars. You can probably send any money. You can Polish money.
Absolutely. I welcome any currency. A little goes a long way. A lot obviously goes a long way. But the idea of becoming a part of this cause and being a part of this film should be.
Tell us when we can see the final effort.
So right now we are hoping to raise funds to go back and shoot this, finish this as a feature, because right now we have a short on our hands. So
how long is the short?
The short is, well, right now it's 20 minutes.
Okay. So we hopefully you'll be having a 1 hour movie, because yes, this really, really can turn into something so positive, so wonderful, and can be shown everywhere in school, especially for young people, because we need to teach young people all around the world, yes, you know, that takes a human to help another human. And if we don't do it, so we are not humans, really. So this is the time. It's a really, really scary time, but we can turn this into something very, very strongly positive, okay? So we are very, very proud of you, Balbinka Korzeniowska, and you need to say, and we are sending love to the Łukasz, because he's a very special man. And of course, the family of 15 people. So I cannot wait for a final project. And the film is called The Intimacy of War. So that will be it when it comes to this project. I know that you are in 5-10 minutes, you are flying to Europe from Chicago. But I know also that a few last months that I didn't talk to you, good things were happening to you. Some awards, some another project. Please, please, just tell us.
So I received the Best Female Director Award from a festival called the Montreal Independent Film Festival for my feature film called Playing Through. And that's the story of Anne Gregory, who was the first Black female amateur golfer. And I shot this film last year in Sarasota during the pandemic, where I was in Sarasota, Florida in June, wearing a visor, a shield, 7 face masks on a golf course for 21 days. I'm very lucky that I survived.
Wow, you didn't get COVID? You didn't get COVID?
No, I did not get COVID because I was, I might as well been one of those scientists with those like zip up suits that just like, you know, that walk around like a marshmallow. But I did not get COVID. I was very hot. But we shot the film. I'm very proud of it. And it won the best audience winner at the Sarasota Film Festival where it opened. I got the best female director award at the Montreal Independent Film Festival. And now in August, we're going to Martha's Vineyard for the Martha's Vineyard African American Film Festival. And because it's based on a true story, one of the family members of Anne Gregory, she passed away in 1991, I believe. One of the family members is actually going to join us on the red carpet as a celebration to her life. So that's extremely special to me to have, you know, been the person to tell her her grandmother's story is an honor, to say the least.
You're busy.
I mean, I would hope that, you know, I don't have kids yet. I have a dog and I don't have a husband yet, but you know, my career is my everything.
Yes. And I see you have beautiful dog with you always on your arms.
Always. Yeah. I'm a big, you know, my passion is to actually have a dog rescue farm, but not just limited to dogs. I want,
I know, look at what he's doing.
Yeah. I know. I see that.
My dog, so you said dog, and she said, I need to appear because some good lady is talking about us. So I know you will do it. You will do everything that you are saying, and you know, you put your focus on, and you will. So some lots of dogs will be so lucky to have your support in the future. And family, like you say, will come when the time is right. Right now, you just need to do it. So, but outside of your tiring, not really, because you're happy when we are working. The creative mind needs to always work, but you need to take a break, girl. So what are you doing? The 2 years of COVID, I think we covered like a year ago in our interview, but outside of really like, listen, you can now travel, you can go somewhere. So how did you spend after COVID time? Do you already fly everywhere? Are you?
To be honest, I was traveling during the pandemic. I found it extremely peaceful. There was nobody on, you know, on any flights. I actually went to Europe when the pandemic started. I went to London for a little bit. And then I spent the first year of the pandemic in Poland, which was wonderful. I was developing a show there with a producer. And, you know, of course, yeah, we were all following rules and regulations, but somehow because I wasn't in LA, it felt great, you know, despite the fact that we were living in a pandemic. I came back to America, I shot my film. Actually today I'm getting ready to take a little break. I'm going to Paris and I'm going to go for a week around the Emerald Coast. Just as a complete detox of everything. I have, you know, a few projects coming up in August, and then, you know, the later part of the year is pretty booked. So this is like my 1 week, 3 days after my birthday, a little birthday present to myself of, okay, you deserve it. Just, you know, go. And Europe is always, you know, you can't go wrong there. It's just anywhere you go.
But it will be so beautiful. We have little heat waving in London. Everybody's petrifying of 100, you know, degrees weather, which in LA is like almost every day, like, you know. Yes. So, but the weather is beautiful in Europe right now. So hopefully you will not get too much heat, but perfect for strolling around the town. That's Europe is amazing. Everybody, please start saving money and just come to Europe and just enjoy European countries. So you are living, you are in Chicago, you are in Los Angeles, you are also in Poland. So when you are in Poland, what town you are visiting the most?
My family actually owns a wonderful, this is shameless self-promotion, we own a wonderful hotel in Kraków. So we own one of the original brownstones in the small square, and we have, Yeah, we have that. We've had that in our family, not for, you know, hundreds and thousands of years. We bought it probably 20 years ago, and we've renovated it, and we have, and it's absolutely, I mean, yes, I'm biased, but it really is stunning. You know, we hired an interior designer and an architect, and it really is and my uncle runs it. So it's very much a family run, you know, establishment. And so if there are available rooms, I have, you know, I always take the smallest room provided that it's, available, but most of the filmmaking industry is in Warsaw. So when I was living during the pandemic, you know, I very much had to rent something out in Warsaw because it's just, it's a little too far to travel.
Yeah, that hurts me the most because obviously I was living in Poland for 30 years and the connection that I have, they're amazing, they're friends. So mostly I'm, you know, when I visit, I am somebody that I know for many, many years and they're happy to see me. But now when I'll be working in Poland more and more, so now I'm like, okay, do I need to like start renting, finding hotel? It's like you're going back to your own country and it's no place that you can call home. So great that you have the hotel in a car now, in a central.
Please come to us at least for the first time. If you're ever in Kraków, you're our guest, you know, your family. So let us know. We'll definitely host you the proper Polish way.
I just love you even for one night. No, obviously with my daughter, that would be great to just enjoy a nice bed and in the middle of the town. So yes, please send me a link to your hotel. I would love to visit. And tell me, because your mama is with you, is she traveling with you or she just prefers to stay in Chicago?
No, mama is, we're actually planning for a really big trip to Nepal later on this year.
Yeah, your mother is very unusual. She likes to climb. She likes to, there's always, we need to make a maybe show about your mama.
Yeah, but you know what? I also have a grandmother and she's really interesting too. So I was raised by queens, like three queens. My, you know, I look at pictures from this week and it's three generations and it's like, I have so much more to go to be as cool as them, you know, like they're, my grandmother survived it all. And in all of this, she, you know, up until a few years ago, she still had. Had, the running joke was that she has more boyfriends than I do.
Well, that's so sad and also funny.
It's sad and funny, exactly, right? So you better believe that I have a couple of scripts written about the dynamics of my grandmother.
The family and the strength of the ladies, and everybody has a really beautiful story, and you all are intertwined, you know, in so beautiful way. That's another beautiful part of the show, that I can a little talk about the private lives of my people, because, you know, the interview normally are very professionally directed, but I don't know how to do them. I just love to know sometimes how is your life, daily life. This is so, so cool. I love
you. I love you too. It's so much more interesting, right? We finally get to know who we are, right? Yes. Like I can promote my project all day long. Great. Yeah. But at the end of the day, if I'm sitting there and I'm listening to an interview, I'm like, who is this person? I want to dig into like their incredible mind.
So thank you so much for sharing the private life of Balbinka Korzeniowska. And again, we are very proud of you and we cannot wait for your project to be elongated to full film, the more than 1 hour maybe even, and it's called The Intimacy of War, and it's a very, very wonderful story about 15 people living as family with Mr. Łukasz, who still is the mystery gentleman. I cannot wait to know him more about him. You gave us a beautiful picture. I have a picture that I will be posting, of course, on our video and on our promo. And this picture, if you can tell us a little bit what this picture shows, so people need to go and see for sure now, Facebook and Instagram. I have this, how many people on the picture and some children. Is this the group that we'll be learning more about?
Yes, they're hot.
They're really beautiful. They're, what a nice people. So, you are there too, but please tell us, we have some gentlemen. Who are these people?
I believe that, are you looking at the picture in Kraków? Oh, that's my crew.
That's your crew, but they all have children? No. That's what I want to know.
No. So when I was going to, and I'm actually dressed in this similarly. So when I I decided that all of us on my crew should have olive green t-shirts channeling President Zelensky, an incredible, inspiring man. And then half of us were going to have Ukrainian flags, and then half of us were going to have Polish flags. So we took that group photo. So it's all of my crew and then a few of the Ukrainian kids that wanted to stay in the picture. It's a little hard to wrangle 10 kids at the same time. It's like trying to take a photo of my dog. I'm like, smile, and he's like the other way. But yeah, that is my very good looking crew. I mean, I was very lucky.
And we have five beautiful children here, and obviously, like you say, capture all still. Not easy, but this is a beautiful picture, so I'm very proud that we can also see the faces of your friends and your crew who just makes all of this happen, and all of you look pretty again nice. So congratulations for the group of people who work with you on this project. So Balvinka, I think time to say goodbye in a way. And I wish you a safe trip to Europe. I want more updates about your project when we'll be ready. We'll post the links for donations. And like always, say hi to mama and grandma. And we love everybody to go to Krakow. And tell us one more time name of the hotel.
So the hotel is MR3 Apartments. So the letter M as in Mary, R as in Robert, and the letter 3. So MR3 Apartments, and that's in Krakow.
So much wanting everybody to go there and to see how amazing Krakow is. So I love you for today. Be healthy. Fly for 1 week. I come back with so much more power than you already have. And we'll be talking to you soon.
Thank you, Ilona. Love you back. You and Natasha.
Bye.
You're listening to Accent On with Ilona Europa, right here on LA Talk Radio.